Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Text Number 17. Shri Brahma Vacha Utisto Tishta Badrang Te Tapa Siddho Si Kashyapa Varado Aham Anuprapto Vriyatam Ipsito Vara Sri Brahma Vacho Uttisto Tishta Badramte Tapasidho Sikashyapa Varadoham Anuprapto Vriyatam Ipsito Vara Sri Brahma Vacho Uttisto Tishta Badrangte Tapasidho Sikashyapa Vardoham Anuprapto Vriyatam Ipsito Vara Sri Brahma Vacha Utisto Tishta Badramte Tapasidho Sikashyapa Vardoham Anuprapto Vriyatam Ipsito Varaha Sri Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma said, Uttista, please get up. Uttista, get up. Badram, good fortune. Te, unto you. Tapasiddha, perfect in executing austerities. Asi, you are. Kashyapa, O son of Kashyapa. Varada, the giver of benediction. Aham, I. Anuprapta, arrived. Vriyatam, let it be submitted. Ipsita, desired. Vara, benediction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities. And therefore I may give you a benediction. You may now ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Skanda Purana, which says that Hiranyakasipu, having become a devotee of Lord Brahma, who was known as Hiranyagarbha, and having undergone a severe austerity to please him, is also known as Hiranyaka. Rakshasas and demons worship various demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, just to take the post of these demigods. This we have already explained in previous verses. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Gurdu Vachalam Bhungam Bhunghayate Gurim Yad Kripa Taraham Mande Shikarum Dinatarnam Vanchikalpa Tivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we're seeing how Hiranyakashipu, he had great determination to get some very big material desires. He wanted to become so powerful that he was the controller of the whole universe. He wanted to be the top dog, you could say. So he was performing these austerities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that austerity performed out of foolishness, with self-torture, and with the intention of injuring others, is austerity in the mode of ignorance. So I think Hiranyakasipu would certainly fit in this category. First of all, he was torturing himself to fast for so long. What was it, 100 celestial years? That's a big fast. You know, we have our Nirjo Ekadasi. And for many devotees, it's very difficult to do just the, you know, one day of no water, no food. Yeah. So he is going for 100 celestial years. And we know we have this at the end of Kartik, there's this 5-day period where some devotees do this austerity of fasting for 5 days, the last 5 days of Kartik, and they don't drink any water. Anybody know of anybody that's done that? I know one person, he was in Miami. He did this for 5 days, no water, no food. And the last day, I was on the altar, I was bathing the deities, and the temple room and the altar are on the same level. So I'm bathing the deities, and all of a sudden this devotee, he falls onto the altar. He fell onto the altar. He was at Tulsi Puja, but he fell onto the altar, no energy. No energy, just fell down. He had no energy at all, couldn't stand up. So it's very austere. Harishchandra Prabhu did this austerity. It's very austere. So you can't imagine this austerity that Hiranyakasipu underwent. But it wasn't for any good purpose. Actually, this last 5 days of Kartik, when you do this yajna, it's meant for one's spiritual upliftment, for one's spiritual benefit. No material desire. But here, Hiranyakasipu had huge material desire. So he tried to please Lord Brahma, and he did. But he didn't please Krishna. And someone may ask, well, Lord Brahma, he's supposed to be a pure devotee, why is he given these benedictions to this demon? Well, there's many Lord Brahmas, and it's mentioned in one purport, where Prabhupada says that everyone's first birth in the material world is a Lord Brahma. Interesting. So what's also interesting is after Hiranyakasipu was killed, Lord Brahma offered prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. Nice prayers. But Lord Nrisingadev said only one thing to him. He said, if you give milk to a snake, they become more dangerous. Similarly, if you give benedictions to demons, they become very dangerous. So he said, I warn you, don't ever give benedictions like this again to such demons. He gave a warning to him. So Krishna wasn't pleased. Lord Nrisingadev wasn't pleased with these benedictions he gave. So all his austerities, these big austerities that he underwent, were actually useless. Useless. Huge austerity. But what was the result? He was killed by God. So the goal is not austerity. The goal is to please Krishna. And there's a statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, tapyante lokatapena sarvo prayasojana, that is very common for devotees of the Lord to accept voluntary austerity to relieve the suffering of the people in general. And this is considered to be the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of God. So it's an austerity, no doubt, to approach people that may not be interested in Krishna consciousness, and then on top of that, ask money from them. They're hard working money from them, and give them a book they may not read. So it's an austerity. You get a lot of rejection. But it's very pleasing to Krishna. And many people who receive Krishna consciousness in the form of books and other preaching methods, they benefit. This one devotee, I'm staying as a part of Rohini Nandana Balaram Prabhu, he preaches here at the Samadhi every day. And he's doing wonderful preaching there. He's got about 300 names of people that are very interested in Krishna consciousness, and he calls them twice a week and gives them a class on the phone. And they're chanting, many of them are chanting japa now. He said there's one lady that he was speaking to, and she's a pilot. And she's a pilot of one of these big air buses, these two-level planes. And she told him that, I was suffering so much, I was so miserable. But now I've gotten these books and I'm hearing these nice lectures that you're giving, and now my life has become so nice. It's become so sublime from coming in contact with Krishna. So this happens all over the world. People are appreciating Krishna consciousness. So undoubtedly it's an austerity to go out and try to convince people to accept a book and give Lakshmi. It's an austerity, but it's a very, very nice austerity. We benefit so much because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Ya idang paramanguyang mad bhakte subhasati, bhaktim mayim param krita mame vaishya sangsaya." That there's no one more dear to me than that person who is distributing this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, this great secret, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And he says, there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. So Krishna has given a wonderful hint here. You want to please me? Then distribute this knowledge to others. And I think all of us were here, we want to please Krishna. Anybody here want to please Krishna? Yeah, Haribo! So Krishna has given a very nice hint here on how to please him. Give this knowledge to others. People are suffering. They have no idea what to do, what not to do. Just like us, we didn't know what to do. Bewildered by the modes of nature. Then somehow we got these nice books, this nice knowledge, and now we're taken to Krishna consciousness. So yeah, it's an austerity, but it's an austerity for Krishna, so it's good. One Sankirtan leader, he went to Prabhupada and he said to Prabhupada, some of these Sankirtan devotees, they're feeling that it's too much anxiety to go out and approach people and try to convince them to take a book and give a donation. So much anxiety. And Prabhupada replied, no, this is Krishna anxiety. This is good anxiety. He said, just like Mother Yasoda, she was in anxiety. Krishna would go out to the forest and she would worry about him. Because, Krishna, he came across so many demons, and somehow Krishna was able to survive through it all. But there's anxiety there. Mother naturally feels anxiety for her son. But it's Krishna anxiety. She would feed Krishna, thinking, if I don't feed him, how is he going to live? So she was in anxiety. The gopis, so much anxiety. They were putting the feet of Krishna on their breast, and they were thinking, my breasts are so hard. And then they would see Krishna going out in the forest of Vrindavan, and there were so many thorns and stones, and it was torture. It was torture for them to see that Krishna is going out in the forest of Vrindavan barefoot. Big anxiety for the gopis. So there's also transcendental anxiety. And that's good. That's good anxiety. And when we go out to give this Krishna consciousness, Jaya Shishi Gaurita, Jaya Krishna Balam Shishi Radhasama Sundara. So when we go out and we give this Krishna consciousness to others, Krishna is pleased. Srila Prabhupada, right here in Vrindavan, 1975, he said, Krishna is feeling some pain because of his parts and parcels are suffering. And therefore he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there's a predominant rise of irreligion, decline of religious practice, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna comes to help us get free of this suffering, of this pain of material existence. Just like a father, a respectable father, wealthy, respectable father, if one of his sons goes out and he becomes very degraded, taking drugs, all kinds of intoxication, just very disheveled, low class, going to bars and, you know, just becoming just very low. It gives pain to the father. Naturally, it gives pain to the father. So Krishna is also our father. And when he sees living entities suffering, he gives pain. So he comes to help us to become free of this suffering. So the more Krishna conscious we become, the happier we become in Krishna consciousness, the happier Krishna is. So it gives Krishna pleasure the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. And the more we also help others to become Krishna conscious, then Krishna is all the more pleased. Just like I gave you the example of the father whose son had become so degraded, drinking, smoking, you know, committing crime. So imagine some friend of this wealthy person goes out of his way to help this son that had become so degraded. And he actually helps him. And he becomes a good person again. He becomes a good son, a good person. Imagine how indebted the father would be towards this friend of his that went out of his way to help his son. Imagine how much gratitude, how good he would feel towards his friend. He would feel really good, right? So Krishna also, he feels really, really good about our going out and helping the conditioned souls that have drifted away from their father. So Krishna is so pleased. We can't imagine how pleased Krishna is by performing this austerity. And the most merciful incarnation of all of Krishna's incarnations is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Badayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nana Guru Tashayanava. So Lord Chaitanya, he is known as the most munificent, the most wonderful incarnation of Krishna. Why? Because he not only came and gave Krishna to others, but he also taught how to be a devotee. He came as a devotee. And one of his activities as a devotee was to preach Krishna consciousness. And therefore it's stated that he came and he opened the doors of love of God. He opened the doors of love of God. And he gave his Krishna to so many people that were considered unfit to receive Krishna consciousness. Muslims, Haridas Thakur, and fallen brahmanas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were extricated, they were completely removed from the brahminical society because they were associating with Muslims. So they were rejected. So Lord Chaitanya came and he gave mercy to so much, to so many living entities. And he went all over India chanting the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he was giving Krishna in so many ways. He instructed Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, write books for the upliftment of human society. So Lord Chaitanya came and he opened the doors of love of God. But after some time, the doors, they started to close. Kali Yuga had entered in a very big way. So many upper sampradayas. So many upper sampradayas came up. And so much material sense gratification became prominent. So the doors had almost become closed. Then, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared. And he opened the doors again. The Nam Hat. He had thousands of people involved in this Nam Hat. He was preaching so much. And then he prayed for a ray of Vishnu. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he appeared. And he opened the doors even wider. Here in India, the Gaudiya Math was the most prominent spiritual movement of his time. 64 temples all over India. I don't know if we have 64 temples now, ISKCON temples. Does anybody know? Do we? Panchagoda, do we have 64 now, ISKCON temples? Something around it. We have a lot. I don't know. Who knows? Who would know? Anyway, we have a lot. But he had 64 temples. That was big. That was huge. But then after he left, within a short time, the preaching stopped. Practically within a year, the preaching stopped, and they went to court, you know, over mats, you know, temples, and money, and preaching practically stopped. So very sad time. Then Srila Prabhupada appeared on the scene. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! And he opened the doors wider than they had ever been opened before. Because Krishna consciousness left India in a very big way. Of course, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was here, he also sent people to England and to Germany. But there was practically no result. So they were sent back to India. No success. Srila Prabhupada went to America with nothing. And he was trying to spread Krishna consciousness. He wrote to his godbrothers here in India, please, please help. I'm struggling here alone. Please help me. No help. Nothing. So Srila Prabhupada, he once said, I'm not a man to be easily discouraged. So he continued on his way, preaching. So what did he go there with? Was it 40 rupees? And some books. 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. 600 books. He had this three-volume set of the first canto. And he was distributing books there in New York City on consignment. He would put books in stores and people would buy them. And Prabhupada would go there and the store owner would give the Lakshmi and he would put another book. So Prabhupada distributed so many books in this way. And the youth also would come to 26 Second Avenue and he would distribute sets. Satsrup Maharaj and others, Tamakrishna Maharaj, others, they got these sets from Srila Prabhupada. So this is pretty much how he maintained also, through book distribution. So Srila Prabhupada, he left us with this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. So we have to make sure these doors don't close again. We have to keep these doors open. And these doors are kept open by this preaching activity, by book distribution, by college preaching. So many, now internet preaching is very big. In Russia, there's this one devotee, Audarya Dham. He's doing so much preaching in Russia, you wouldn't believe it. He makes more devotees in our society than anybody else. I travel around Russia a lot. This last year I was in Russia and I was going to the different temples and encouraging book distribution. And generally when I ask devotees, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? You know, maybe 3/4 of the devotees, they would raise their hand and say they got a book from somebody. Let's do it now. How many of you came because you came from a book, from receiving a book? How many? Okay. Not so many, I'm surprised. And from preaching. How many of you came, somebody preached to you? Wow, a lot. Wow, very good. So that's another big one. Just preaching, you know, college preaching and friends preaching to you. So this is another big way that people are coming to Krishna consciousness. So he has this internet preaching going on in Russia. And he's making so many devotees. When I would ask how devotees came to Krishna consciousness, practically at every temple I went to, about 3/4 of the devotees would raise their hand when I would say, Audarya Dham. Yeah. 3/4, practically every place. He makes so many devotees, you wouldn't believe it. Yeah. So internet preaching is also very, very big. And it's increasing around the world. So this is a way to please Krishna, to open these doors wider and wider, give people an opportunity to go back to Godhead. Krishna, he likes it when his family increases. Just like I've heard, I haven't been here for a long time in Kartik, but I've heard during Kartik, it's completely packed. You can't even get into the temple room sometimes. Yeah. So, of course, it's unfortunate that people can't get into the temple, but I'm sure Krishna is very pleased that it's so packed that people can't get in. It's a nice problem to have. It's a nice headache for Panchagoda Prabhu, the temple president here, to deal with. So, yeah, Krishna, he likes to see that the devotees are increasing. And ultimately, he wants us to go back to Godhead. He wants us to go back to the spiritual world. It's not an easy thing. It's the most difficult challenge that any of us will face, to become pure again and go back to Godhead. Because we've been in this material world for a very long time. Who knows how many lifetimes. So we become very conditioned to material life. So to give up this material life and to take complete shelter of Krishna, it's not an easy thing. To do it, we have to be very sincere, very serious. These two words are very similar, serious and sincere. So I looked it up in the dictionary. Serious means thoughtful. As we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we shouldn't just read them like a novel, just read it through. We should be very thoughtful. Just Prabhupada said that if we cram his purports, if we read his purports very carefully, then we'll get more and more realization, more and more understanding. You know? Each sentence in Srila Prabhupada's purports is like a sloka in itself. It's like a Vedic sloka in itself. The purports, his purports are just so wonderful. Therefore, he called them his devotional ecstasies. His purports are just so wonderful. So we should read Prabhupada's books very seriously, in a very thoughtful way, trying to grasp, trying to understand every sentence that he's putting in his purports. And sincere means genuine. Sincere means genuine. And genuine, we should pray for a genuine desire to please Krishna. To be free of this material contamination and serve Krishna with no material motivation. And yabilasita sunyam jnana karmadina. No desire for material enjoyment, or free of mental speculation, and just focus on pleasing Krishna. And fortunately, we've been given such a wonderful guide. Srila Prabhupada's given us such nice guidance. If we just follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we'll advance very quickly. Srila Prabhupada is such a powerful devotee. He's like a transcendental bulldozer, and he just plowed through Kali Yuga. Just plowed through Kali Yuga. And all we have to do is get behind him and stay behind him. Don't be diverted by the Maya that you're going to see on the right and you're going to see on the left, because there's a lot of Maya. This is Maya's kingdom. So there'll be a lot of Maya trying to get us to go in that direction, to lure us out of this path. And as we're going on this path, following Srila Prabhupada back to Godhead, we should distribute some books along the way, on the right and the left. You know, to get the people to also hear about the glories of Krishna, the glories of Prabhupada. See, a devotee is not satisfied by his own hearing about Krishna and chanting the names of Krishna. He wants everybody to hear the glories of Krishna. You know, this is a devotee. He wants everybody to take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement. So here in the verse, it's mentioned that Hiranyakasipu, he perfected his austerities. Yeah? And therefore Lord Brahma, he appeared and he benedicted him. Didn't exactly get what he wanted. He wanted to be immortal. But Lord Brahma said, no, that's not possible. I can't do that. Even I am not immortal. But Hiranyakasipu was very intelligent. He thought, well, let me make it so that I cannot die in the day, I cannot die at night. You know, different, you all know. So he thought he could figure it out. He can work it around. You know? But he couldn't. But he pleased Lord Brahma. He perfected his austerities. So Srila Prabhupada said the perfection of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is when we're hearing the name, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes. When we're absorbed in these things, that's the perfection of chanting. We're hearing the name, we're remembering the pastimes, the qualities, and the form of the Lord. This is the perfection of chanting Hare Krishna. So the name of Krishna is non-different than Krishna. So Krishna is very pure. Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram. He is so pure that he purifies anyone that comes in contact with Krishna. So the more we chant the names of Krishna, the more we read the words of Krishna, the more we get purified. The more we become perfect in our process of practicing Krishna consciousness. So the name is very, very important. And therefore it's stated, Kalir Dosanid He Rajan. Asti he kumahadgur, kirtanaravi krishna, mukta sangha paramuja. That in this age of Kali, it's very degraded, very difficult age to practice Krishna consciousness in. Therefore this verse says that, but if one chants the holy name of Krishna, then we become free of contamination. We become free of all the faults. This age is filled with so many faults. Yeah. But the one good quality of this age, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, would become purified. Very powerful process. Yeah. There's one pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was in one area, in one village, and there was one sadhu. He was chanting Hare Krishna. He had a nature call. He had to go to the latrine, to the toilet. But he didn't want to chant in the latrine, the restroom. He was holding his tongue so that he wouldn't chant when he went into the restroom. And one boy, 5-year-old boy, he went up to him and said, Baba, what are you doing? Why are you holding your tongue? He said, well, I have to go to the latrine. I have to go to the restroom. I have to, you know, I have a nature call. And it'll be offensive to chant in the restroom. He was so Christian conscious, he didn't want to offend Krishna in that way. So the young boy, he said, no, it's okay. Lord Chaitanya said, there's no hard and fast rule. You could chant Hare Krishna anywhere, no problem. So the sadhu said, oh, okay, thank you. So he went into the bathroom and he continued chanting. He couldn't stop chanting. Imagine how elevated devotee he must have been. Couldn't stop. He had to hold his tongue. It'd be a nice level to come to, right? So Lord Chaitanya was there and he heard this boy say that. And Lord Chaitanya asked the boy, what is your name? He said, Mahabhubhu, my name is Gopal. So Lord Chaitanya said, from now on your name is Gopal Guru. Gopal Guru. Because he had so much faith in Lord Chaitanya and he became a big acharya, actually. So there's no hard and fast rule for chanting the names of Krishna. So the name, the qualities of Krishna, so many wonderful qualities of Krishna, the personified Vedas, they explain that the qualities of Krishna, they're unlimited. Unlimited qualities. But there's one quality that stands above all the other qualities, far above all the other qualities, and that quality is his compassion. Krishna is very compassionate, and therefore he comes. He keeps coming to help us. And he even comes as the most compassionate, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're very fortunate that we're at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we want others to also come at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also get this mercy, feel this compassion, this amazing, wonderful quality. And these qualities that are in Krishna, they're also in us. So this compassion is also within us. It's there. This love for Krishna is also there. It's within us. Covered, but it's there. So the more we take to Krishna consciousness seriously, the more the qualities of a pure Vaishnava come out. They're there. They just have to come out. Just dormant. The pastimes of Krishna are so wonderful. There's so many religions, but there's no religion that describes the pastimes of Krishna. The activities of God. No religion. Any religion in the world, they'll tell you God is great, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's great in so many ways, but what are his activities? I've talked to so many devotees that would ask their priest or rabbi, what are the activities of God? And they couldn't say anything. Couldn't say anything. So here in our transcendental literature, we have the pastimes of Krishna. Wonderful pastimes. Just like right now, the devotees are at Govardhan Hill, circumambulating Govardhan. Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Such a big hill. How old was he when he lifted Govardhan Hill? Anybody know? Seven years old. Young boy lifting Govardhan Hill. And there's a nice pastime, Krishna. During Kartik, just like here during Kartik, it's a big festive atmosphere, huge festive atmosphere, so many people. So when Krishna was here also, big festive atmosphere, people doing so many things. And Krishna, he saw the gopis there, they're making pearl necklaces. So he asked the gopis, oh gopis, please, can you give me some pearls? I would like to make some pearl necklaces for my cows. They said, we're not going to give you pearls to make pearl necklaces for your cows. Go away, little boy. Go away. Don't bother us. We're busy. Oh, please, gopis, please, give us some pearls. No, we can't give you any pearls. Okay, you're not going to give me any pearls? Then I'm going to grow my own pearls. You can't grow pearls. No. I'm going to grow my own pearls. You watch. So he went to his mother. He said, Mata, please, can you give me some pearls? I want to grow some pearls and make some pearl necklaces for my cows. Mother Yasoda said, oh, you silly boy. Silly boy, you can't grow pearls. They come from the ocean, oysters. You can't grow pearls. No, Mata, I can. I can grow, please. Give me some pearls. I'll grow some pearls. Krishna's so cute. He's so wonderful, so beautiful. All right, I'll give you some pearls. So she gave him some pearls. And, you know, Krishna, he's the son of an agriculturalist, right? The Vaishya. So he lined up the pearls very nicely. Put the pearls down there. And after 3 days, there was some sprout coming up. And he called the gopis over, and he called Mother Yasoda. You see? Mother Yasoda, gopis, see? Pearls, they're coming up, you see? Yeah. The gopi said, no, that's not pearl plant. That's probably going to be some thorn plant. Pearls, there's no pearls going to come out of there. No. Krishna said, no. Pearls are going to come, you watch. So after a few days, the plant grew and grew, and sure enough, pearls were growing out of the bushes. And there were different colors. There was yellow and pink and blue and orange. And there were even fragrance. Anybody ever heard of fragrant pearls? They were so fragrant. So he got a bunch of these pearls and he took them to the gopis and said, you see, here's the pearls. I told you. We grew pearls. And now we're going to make so many nice pearl necklaces for the cows. So he left. And he made pearls, not only for the pearl necklaces, not only for the cows, but for his monkey friends. How many cows did Krishna have? 900,000, 9 lakhs. That's a lot of pearls. So he made pearl necklaces for the cows and for the monkeys. And then the gopis, they went to Krishna and said, Krishna, we want to make a lot of these nice pearl necklaces. You have such nice pearls. Can we have some pearl necklaces? Gopis, we asked you for just a few pearls and you wouldn't give us any. Now you're asking for pearls from us? No way. Forget it. We're not going to give you any pearls. Oh, please, Krishna, give us some pearls. No. Forget it. We're not going to give you any pearls. And then Krishna said, I got pearls from my mother. Get some pearls from your mother. Grow your own pearls. Okay, so they went to their mother. They got some pearls. And they planted the pearls. And you see, but Krishna, when he was the way he watered his pearls, his pearl plants, was with milk. The gopis were thinking, we're going to get better pearls. We're going to water the plants with ghee, yogurt, and milk. And we're going to get better pearls. You know, logical, right? So they were watering the plants with ghee. Imagine that. Huh? Yogurt and milk. So they're doing like this. After 3 days, they got some sprout. And they said, Krishna, look, we're going to have some pearl plants too, look. And Krishna said, no, I don't think so. So then after 4 or 5 days, the plants grew, and thorn plants. They were thorn plants. So then the gopis were like, oh, how does Krishna do this? You know, how does he do this? You know, nobody can do things like Krishna does, you know. And then one gopi said, just because he knows mantras. He knows these special mantras. You know? So anyway, they thought, let's go and try to, maybe we can, if we bring some gold, if we barter, give some gold to Krishna, he'll give us some pearls. So they brought a bunch of gold, said, Krishna, if we give you some gold, will you give us some of your pearls? And Krishna said, gold, gold, each one of my pearls is more valuable than the Kaustubha gem that's worn by Lord Vishnu, and you want to give us this measly gold? Yellow stool, nothing, nothing. So they were going back and forth trying to get some pearls. So they went on and on and on. There's a whole book about this. You know, it's amazing. Raghunath Das Goswami, he explains about this. So many wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So is there any question or comment or correction? Yes, here. Is it on? I don't think it's on. Maybe someone's going to turn it on. There, it's on. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, as you were saying, by preaching, by books, so what somewhere I heard from Prabhupada saying, what will your preaching for 10 preaching minutes will do? If you give him a book, that book will change his life. And similarly, when he got the book, our life will change.
Yes. So it's a statement he's making, that if we distribute books, it will change people's lives if they get a book. Not everybody's. It's Kali Yuga. It's not easy. Not everybody will benefit the way we would like them to. But many people are benefiting. And his statement is that not only do they benefit, but we benefit. Because when you distribute books, it gives impetus to be very serious. Because book distribution is a very serious activity. You got to be fixed up, because you're going out there to convince people that may have never heard of Krishna before, and you're trying to get them to take a book and give their money. So it's not an easy thing. So you got to be very, very strict. Good sadhana, 16 clear rounds, reading Prabhupada's books before you go out. It's very important. Sadhana is actually the most important activity for a book distributor if he wants to distribute books. So it's very, very important. I remember in Miami, we would rise early and get up early, chant our rounds and read, and we would get out in the door at 10 o'clock, right on the nose. Panchagota Prabhu was the Sankirtan leader. And if I was just a minute late, boy, Panchagota, he would give it to me. And that was good. Prabhupada said our Krishna consciousness should be as if in military discipline. Very strict. So, if we wanted to distribute books, we had to be very serious. Nice, serious sadhana. Thank you for that statement. Anything else? I think I saw that. Yes. Bring the microphone to him. Okay, it's still not on. Maybe somebody could turn it on for him. Okay, it's not working. You're going to have to speak loudly. Speak loudly. Yes. The question is, why is it difficult to go back to Godhead? A devotee was once asked Srila Prabhupada the same question. And Prabhupada replied, because our desire is not strong enough to go back to Godhead. We still have desires to enjoy in this world. So this is a problem. So we should pray to Krishna to be free of all of our material desires and just have this one desire to serve Krishna. I read one very nice verse by Sudama, the Brahmana. It's one of my favorite verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Sopi vravre chalam bhaktim tasmani vakilatmani tad bhakte sucha sarvadam bhute sucha dayam param. When Krishna went to Mathura, he came to this Brahmana, the Sudama. Actually, I don't know if he's a Brahmana, actually. He's a garland maker. But he was such a great devotee, such a great devotee, Krishna said, I'll give you whatever you want. Imagine that. So this devotee, he said, I just want three things. Please give me devotion for you. Friendship with your devotees and compassion for all living entities. When I read that, I thought, man, that covers everything. Because more than anything, we want devotion for Krishna. Right? If we have devotion, if we have pure devotion for Krishna, we're set. We made it. But we also have to have friendship with the devotees. If we have pure devotion for Krishna, but we don't have friendly relationships with the devotees, Krishna's not going to invite us back to the spiritual world. Because there's complete harmony in the spiritual world. If we have friction with the devotees in the spiritual world, we'll be a social disturbance. We'd probably get kicked out again. So we should pray to Krishna also to have nice, loving relationships with the devotees. Very important. And Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with one another. So we have to cooperate. That's a sign of love. Yeah. Also, dadati pratigranati, giving prasadam to devotees, receiving prasadam, revealing our mind and confidence, inquiring submissively, and giving gifts, receiving gifts. These are the loving exchanges that devotees have with one another. And then, he said, compassion for all living entities. We want to bring others back with us. We don't want to go alone back to Godhead. We want to bring as many back to Krishna as we can. And Srila Prabhupada said the best preaching is book distribution. Of course, now it might be the internet preaching. Because that's like incredible preaching. All over the world, not only Russia, but around the world. Excuse me. Internet preaching is increasing like anything all around the world. So this might pass up book distribution. But we should still continue. Prabhupada was very fond of this book distribution. Any other question or comment? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.